3. I'll give everybody a second to get over there. But 2 Timothy chapter 3. And once you make it over there, we'll start in verse 1. I was reading through this passage of scripture the other day, and whenever I was looking through it, it really brought to my attention things that I was seeing in the world right now. Whenever I started reading through it, I was equating everything that's happening now to this passage of scripture, and it really sticks out the times that we're currently in. So we'll start in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth." So whenever I was reading through this passage, I was reading all of those traits that it says in verse 1. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." So it's listing a whole list of things that we will see that will be happening in the last days. And whenever I was going through this list, I was like, wow, okay, I see that, I see that, I see that. Every single thing that is in this list, I see it. And I'm not a doomsday type of person, okay? I'm not here to preach doom and gloom or say, oh, it's almost over, all these things are going to happen. But clearly from Scripture, we can tell that the end times are here. We know that nothing is holding Jesus back from coming again. We know that he could come back at any time. We just don't know when that day could be. It could be tomorrow. It could be right now. It could be 10 years from now. It could be 50 years from now. It could be 100 years from now. We don't know. But what we do know is that we are currently living in the end times. So what I want to do is I want to kind of just work our way through this passage of Scripture, and then in a little bit we're going to go over to Luke. So the first thing it says is, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Whenever I think about that, that right there is so true. If you look at the world today, people love themselves. People are self-absorbed. People are caught up in what they're doing. Earlier, whenever I was driving to pick up kids for church, I don't know if y'all know, but Hagerty is shut down like maybe a couple miles. Well, people were driving down the wrong side, even though it said do not enter. They were coming down the wrong side. Why? Because they only care about themselves. They don't care that there's other people trying to go the other direction. People are self-absorbed. People are only concerned about what can benefit them. And that is something that is prevalent in our world today. The next thing that we see is that it says covetous. People are covetous. People want what others have. Nobody wants to work for anything anymore. People are always going and they're trying to either steal or take something from someone else. They don't want to earn anything on their own. People are covetous. And in our world, that is something that is so prevalent. That is something that is overtaking people. Also, we see proud. Pride is a huge thing, especially in today's day and time. People are prideful. Even sometimes as Christians, sometimes we can be in this list. Sometimes we can become prideful in our lives. Sometimes I have to check myself and say, Adam, that's a little bit of pride right there. You need to check that and you need to make sure that you're not having pride in your life. We need to make sure that we're not allowing pride to build up in us, because the only thing that pride is going to build up is evil. Pride does not bring anything that is good. Pride is only going to bring bad things into our life. And once we get proud, we're going to fall. We're going to stumble. Something is going to come and trip us up. And it would have been a lot better if we had remained humble throughout our lives rather than having pride. The next thing that I see is blasphemers. People blaspheme God's name all the time. I was somewhere yesterday, and someone was talking, and they weren't saying very nice things, and they kept taking God's name in vain. And they didn't think twice about it. And it's so sad that in our lives, we have a perfect God. We have a God who has given us everything that we can imagine. He's given us freedom. He's given us all these different things. Yet people blaspheme him. I was watching the news the other day, and I saw a commercial come on, and it was for an atheist. And it was saying all these things about that God wasn't real, and all these things trashing Christianity, and trashing religion, and trashing Jesus. And I was thinking, how can people be so smug? How can people be so outright and blaspheming the name of Jesus, blaspheming the name of God? But it's something in our world that's happening day in and day out. The next thing that we see, disobedient to parents. That's also something that's happening a lot. And whenever kids that disobey their parents, everyone disobeys, of course. But as kids are being raised today, I look around because I'm trying to figure out the right way to raise Kennedy. I want her to be a good kid. And I look at parents, and they allow their kids just to outright disobey them. They allow their kids to do whatever they want to do. And I remember if I was a kid, if I tried to do anything I wanted to do, my parents would have beat me. But, and I'm thankful for that. But in our lives nowadays, kids are disobedient to parents, correct? That is prevalent in our lives. We go to the store, we see kids rolling on the ground. We see kids taking whatever they want. We see kids throwing things. Kids are disobedient to parents. The next thing that I see is unthankful and unholy. We live in an unthankful generation. We live in an unthankful world. People are not thankful for what they have. We look at people that take the flag and they burn it. We look at people who stomp on the flag. We look at people who take America for granted. We look at people who say, well, America's not great. Well, they haven't moved anywhere, honestly. And people are unthankful. People are unholy. People do not give thanks for the things that God has given us. None of us deserve to be alive. None of us deserve the opportunity to go to heaven. The only thing we deserve is God's judgment. But in God's grace to us, he's allowed us to be able to live in America. He's allowed us to be able to worship an almighty God. He's allowed us to be able to serve him. And it should be our honor to be able to do those things. We shouldn't take it for granted that we have an amazing church to be able to walk into and people not come in and arrest us. We should be thankful that we are able to worship freely, because there's so many people in all these other countries that aren't allowed to do that. But there's so many people in this world that are unthankful. There's so many people in this world that are unholy. They're not living a way that they should. Let's move down to verse 3. Without natural affection. We see this all the time. People are loving other people they're not supposed to. Homosexuality is rampant in our world. Things like that, they're rampant. People are wanting to marry all sorts of different things. I see people wanting to marry computers and stuff like that. What is wrong with our world? There's unnatural affection. I think about a normal person would be affected by someone dying. But I see so many people today, especially young people, whenever they hear someone dies, they don't bat an eye. They don't think twice about it. People are losing their natural affection. People are not caring. People are becoming calloused. And it just points to the fact that the end times are here. It points to the fact that Jesus is coming soon and that his coming could be near. We look at the next part. It says, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. People don't keep their word anymore. You can't trust people, really, because they don't keep their word. Used to, I was not old enough to experience this, but I've heard older people say you could go down to the store and you could tell someone, give them your word, they would give you what you needed, and you could go pay them at the end of the week. I wouldn't trust anyone to do that now, because people are not trustworthy. People lie. People steal. People do things even more today than they used to that are not right. And in our lives, we cannot allow that as Christians to creep into our lives. Like I said earlier, these types of things are not just secluded to people that aren't saved. It's not just secluded to the world. It can creep into our lives at any time. Also, we see it says, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. This one really stuck out to me. Despisers of those that are good. People hate Christians. That's just a fact. People hate Christianity. People hate someone who stands for something. People hate those types of people. And people hate those that are good. And as Christians, we're going to face hate. We're going to face people that do not like us. We're going to have these things come into our lives. And we have to stand strong. It's probably not going to get easier as we go along. It's probably going to get harder to be a Christian. But we have to look at the way that the people were in the Bible days. They were willing to stand up for Christ's name no matter what. They were willing to represent Christ no matter what came their way. And there's so many times in our lives that that could happen. And it could get worse. And in our lives, we have to be willing to stand up for what Christ has done for us. People are going to hate us. Like I said, as Christians, people are going to despise us. You turn on the news and you see people hate Christians. You go outside, you see people hate Christians. There's so many different things that are going to come against us. But we have to be willing to stand up against those things. Also, we see it says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We'll focus on the lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Sorry. I was watching TV the other day, and I saw that Oregon passed a law to where you can have small amounts of, like, cocaine, heroin, all other things on you. But I have heard this. I don't know if it's true. But that you're not allowed to have plastic straws in Oregon. That makes no sense. And I look at that and I say, well, why would they do such a thing? It's because people are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. People want to please themselves. People want to satisfy themselves. People want to be happy with the things that they're doing. They want to do what they want to do, and they want it to be legal, so that way they don't get any trouble for it. People are only concerned with what they can get for themselves. And honestly, that's the type of world that we're living in, to where states are passing laws to where people can abuse drugs. States are passing laws to where people can do whatever they want to do. And the world is trending a direction that we don't want it to go in. The world is going the opposite direction of Christ. The world's heading another way. So let's move on to the rest of the traits, and then we'll get to the whole thing of the message. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Verse 5 is so intriguing to me, because it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I Googled earlier, what percentage of Americans claim Christianity? And this is adults, and it said 65%. So I thought about 65% of American adults claim Christianity. That would seem like a lot. But if you look around, I don't think that there's that many that actually that claim Christianity that are acting like Christians. People want to claim, oh, I love Jesus, or I love God. But do they live their lives like it? No. People want to say, oh, yeah, I go to church on Sunday morning. Well, that doesn't make us a Christian. What makes us a Christian is living a Christ-like life. Christian means little Christ or Christ-like. We should be walking in Christ's steps. We should be doing the things in our lives that represent Christ. We should be honoring him and living a life that is going to bring him glory. That's how we be a good Christian. That is how we remain Christ-like. But that is something I see in our lives, even in the church sometimes, not our church personally, but churches around the world, are that people that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They only want God whenever it's good for them. They only want God whenever it's cool. They only want God because it's the fashion thing to do right now. And in our lives, we can't get to that place. We can't allow ourselves to get to the point to where we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. And I think that there's a lot of Christians in the world right now who live that lifestyle. They have a form of godliness. They look like a Christian, but they live nothing like a Christian. They might claim Christianity, but they're not representing that kind of lifestyle. And then we see in verse 6, it says, for this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. And then let's focus in on verse 7. It says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. I found this verse so interesting because it says, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. So it made me think about the generation that we have today. They're concerned about learning. They're concerned about educating themselves with other diverse things in their lives, which is good to educate ourselves, but in certain things. So I think about these people, and one of the words that they use is woke. We need to be woke. But the things that they're woke in are not giving them any knowledge. The things that they're learning are not bringing anything good into their lives. And whenever I read that verse, I thought it was so interesting because it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. So they're learning, which is a good thing, but they're not coming to the knowledge of truth. They're not learning what they need to learn. They're not learning anything about God or about Jesus or about church or about how to live a good life. They're learning other things that are bringing harm into their lives. They're learning things that are not growing them spiritually, but they're learning things in their life that are bringing them damage. And there's so many people out there who claim, oh, well, I'm always trying to educate myself with this, educate myself with that. But they're never coming to the knowledge of truth. And it's our responsibility to do those things. I'm not going to jump ahead of myself here. But let's go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. So I went over all those characteristics to show you that, hey, we're in the end times. We don't know when Christ is coming back, but we know that his coming is near. And we know that we need to be focused on that. We know that we need to be paying attention for that because we don't know when it's going to be. But let's look over at Luke chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, let's focus on this part. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So I said all those things for us to see that we look at the world and we see that they're lost. We look at the world and we see that they need help. We look at the world and we see that they're going down a path that they don't need to. But it's our responsibility as the church to reach those people. The Bible says that the harvest is plenteous. There's people out there. There's people out there that need to be reached. There's people out there that need to be helped. But it says the laborers are few. Not everyone is willing to go out and make a difference. Not everybody is willing to go out and reach those that need to be reached. God has asked us, he said, hey, I need you to reach people. I have people out there that are waiting, that need to be helped. I have people out there that are hurting. I have people out there that need to be reached and fixed. But we look at it and we say, well, they're too far gone, Lord. Or I'm too busy for that. Or I don't have time for that. Or I can't do this or that. We come up with all these excuses as to why we can't go out and be a laborer. Christ wants each and every one of us to be laborers. And way too many times in churches I've seen over the years is that people expect the head pastor or someone else, oh, they'll do it. They'll take care of it. It's their job. Well, last time I checked, God called each and every one of us to be laborers. Last time I checked, he wants each and every one of us to go out and reach the people that are around us. He wants us to reach our families. He wants us to reach our parents, our siblings, our uncles, our cousins, whoever. He wants us to reach our coworkers. He wants us to reach our friends. He wants us to reach the people that are around us. I personally can't go out into the entire world and reach everybody. But if each Christian as a collective whole was to say, you know what, I'm going to reach everyone that I possibly can that's in my area, the world would be a much different place. And so many times we try to put blame on this, or we try to put blame on that, or we say, oh, this or that, or the president, all these different things. But honestly, I truly think that if Christians stepped up and we did our job and we made sure that every single day we were trying to accomplish what we could for the Lord and we were trying to do the best that we could, the world could be a much different place. But it's up to us to determine, am I going to be a laborer for Christ? Am I going to go out? He said that the harvest is plenteous. There's people out there. I can guarantee you there's probably maybe 1,000 people over in the neighborhoods over there that need Jesus. There's people that need to be reached. But the fact is that there's not that many laborers. The laborers are few. There's not enough people willing to commit to go out and to help those people. So my challenge to you is that we can look at the world and we can become discouraged by it, or we can step up and say, you know what, it's time for us to step up and do something. Right now, we could be we're in the end times, so why don't I step up and make a difference? I can step up and I can do this. I can step up and I can try to reach those that are around me. Whenever I was thinking about this message, I was thinking about a football game, okay? The last 2 minutes of the game, whether it be halftime or whether it be the fourth quarter, they're going on their two-minute drill. That's not whenever they just sit back and relax and just pass the ball around. They come out with strategic plays to score a touchdown. They want to get down there and score before halftime. They want to get down there and score before the end of the game. And right now we're in the fourth quarter, okay? The game's almost over. We're in the two-minute drill. And it's our responsibility as Christians not to sit back and just sit on the ball. It's our responsibility to push the ball downfield and to score. God wants us to get it into the end zone, and he's left it up to us. Jesus could have come down and done it all himself, but he already did that a long time ago. And then he left us here to be laborers for him. He left us here to be his hands. He left us here to be his feet. He left us here to be his mouth. He wants us to go out and to do the work. We can't sit back and say, oh, he'll do it or she'll do it. We need to look and say, you know what, I can do it. Who can I reach in my life? Make a list of people in your life that you know that are lost. Make a list of people that you know that need church. Make a list of people that you know that need to be helped and focus on them. Say, you know what, I might not be able to go reach everyone, but I can reach these people in my life. So that's my challenge to you. Don't get down by looking at the world today, because that can be easy to do. But instead, be happy about the fact that, you know what, one day we'll all be in heaven. And God has left us to do a work. So let's accomplish that work. Let's do what he needs us to do. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for each and every person that is here, Lord. I ask that you'd help us just to take this message, Lord, and to apply it into our hearts and to our lives, Lord. Because we know, Lord, that we're in dark times and that the world isn't the best. But we know that you have equipped us and that you have called us to do something great for you, Lord. We know that you have asked us to go out and be laborers for you. So I ask that you'd help each and every one of us, Lord, to be able to reach those that are around us, to be able to minister to them, Lord, and just to be able to do what you've called us to do. In your name I pray, amen. And you are dismissed.